page number 255.
Thank you.
y'all today. I found somehow or another my pen came back. Look. Hey, Dixie. Think I can put some blue in my hair? One way to do it. Oh, okay. It's good to be here this morning. I'm glad to see all of y'all, and some of our travelers are back. And if you're visiting this morning, we're just glad you're here with us. Join in as we do the best that we can know how to honor and serve God, and we're glad to be here. We had a good class this morning. We always have a good class. I know y'all do as well, and so if you're not coming to Sunday school, you're missing a blessing. Also, the weather's really nice. I mean, it's kind of a little bit humid, but last time I thought about this, it's the last of August, and I think yesterday the high was in the 80s. And so that's a blessing. The rain keeps raining, and we need to mow the grass again. So in August. So that's good. It's good to see Miss Melba able to be here with us this morning. I'm glad to see her. All right, Brother Chester, good to see you as well. All right, have a few announcements to make this morning. This morning is our Youth Fund offering. So the Youth Fund offering pays for meals on Wednesday night and the little outings and stuff like that they do. And it was a surprise to Cindy, but not anymore, that we're going to have a birthday party for her the 28th, which is this Wednesday. And I'm not going to tell you how old she is. Y'all figure it out. She's 20, right? Plus. Huh? That's all I'm going to say. I have to go home with her, or should I say I get to. Tuesday, September the 3rd at 6 p.m. will be our Lord's Supper. It'll be prepared this time by Sister Georgia Harrison, so I encourage all of our church members to come to that. Sunday evening, September the 8th, will be our business meeting. We moved that back a week so that we can get all of our end-of-year reports and all those things done. So if you want to know what all we've given to and what all we've taken in and what all we've done and all that stuff, there's a lot of work goes into these year-end reports. I encourage you to come and be a part of that. I also want to say before we get to there that I appreciate everything that Georgia and Russell and everyone else does for this church. It's a blessing to be here. All right, nursery attendance this morning, Georgia and Mandy. Next Sunday will be Miss Levita and Vicky. Any other announcements? Anything I missed? Okay, so if you missed business meeting last time, we voted to clear the underbrush off of our 3 acres back here. And so we're on the books. As soon as Brother Kevin Johnson gets a time, he's going to come over here and brush that out, then we can see exactly what we've got and make use of that a little better. So I'm looking forward to that, moving in a little bit in that direction. So anything, any other announcements?
Turn with me to page 46.
My all,
morning, everybody. See, I told you Dixie would be later. Good to see everybody. I see a lot of smiling faces out there. Sure does look pretty.
Amen.
No better place that we could be is right here in Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church this morning. I just can't wait to be here. I missed it last Sunday. We were gone on vacation. And I just missed it. I miss being here. There's always such a wonderful spirit here in this place. We're going to do something a little different this morning because it's just going to be a little slower is all. Okay. I like to do fast stuff. I'm sorry. I don't like draggy, morbid stuff. So we're going to slow it down a little bit this morning. Doing a beautiful song, though. It's entitled, Heaven is Worth It All. And it really is. Heaven is worth everything that we go through here on this earth. So we're going to sing about it for you this morning.
My giddy up this morning. My old right hip is kind of hurting a little bit. I forgot to mention this, but we've been invited to ordination service for Brother Thad Allen, Sunday, September the 8th at 2 p.m. at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church in Malvern. So for sure any of you ordained brothers that can make that trip over there. I know it'd be appreciated. Always glad when men follow the call of God, and our prayers will be for him. All right, this morning we got a little sermon the Lord's laid on my heart. I've told you many times that a lot of times a song or part of a scripture or, you know, the lyrics of the song or whatever will lead me to a thought, and it seems like that happens quite a bit, and I thank God for that. And we're going to be reading out of Matthew 6, a little bit out of Hebrews 9, and then I'll throw in a few little scriptures as we go along. I got a question for you to start with this morning. Have any of you ever been stressed out a little bit by life's events? I'm afraid if you didn't lift your hand, you're probably not, you just don't want us to know it. We'll just put it that way. Because life happens. Work maybe getting you down a little bit. Anybody looking forward to it in the morning? Boy, I can't wait to get up and leave the house at 5 o'clock and go to work. How about y'all? It's lovely. And nice and hot this time of the year. So if you're blessed with an air-conditioned job, you're blessed, right? And so work gets you down a little bit. All right, well, what about family issues? Anybody in here have any family issues? I mean, come on now. Well, some people are, you know, everybody does, do we not? Just one. Just one? Well, I think that's what Cindy would say. She has one family issue. He's standing up here this morning. We're just thankful that she, I'm thankful she loves me anyway. And if that wasn't enough, you know, all these things we just talked about, stop and think for a minute about what's going on in our nation. All the political turmoil that we're having to deal with today. The news is nonstop with people who have an agenda. After all, actually, most everybody has an agenda. Everybody seems to want what they want to benefit themselves, their own agenda. What a lot of our political leaders, if not most or maybe all of them, want really for themselves is power and wealth. And what about our law enforcement officers? Seems like that there's no respect for authority in our society today, period. Drugs and alcohol, rampant, everywhere we look. Destroying families left and right. Disease that we can't seem to get control of. And so what can we do about it? I mean, isn't that kind of a question? Well, boy, this is sounding kind of depressing, preacher. What do? We can't really stop any of that stuff, can we? Well, there's really not much we can do about it. And we spend a lot of time worrying about things that we can't do anything about. We just can't fix all these problems, can we? Yeah, we can. You know how? Give it to the Lord. So what do, preacher? We all want it to be better. Well, I have a little bit of news for you. There is nothing perfect in this life that we live except Jesus Christ. While we're trapped here in this old sinful body, there's not a lot of hope for us. You know, our hair gets gray and we get these aches and pains in our hips and our joints, and this finger's got arthritis in it pretty bad. It hurts this morning. So everybody's got a list of stuff we can gripe about, but listen to me. If you're a born-again believer, these things are just temporary. We think about all the things that are going on in the world that affect us negatively. I have to slow down and get that all spit out correctly. Dana will report right straight back to David. Okay? But as I was reading and studying, I come across a scripture that says, have you ever considered God's servant Job? We talked about Job some in our class this morning. And, you know, Job was a righteous man. He served God continually, and God had built a hedge around Job, and Satan went into the presence of God, and God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Job said, "Well, basically, I can't get to him because you built a hedge around him. If you'll just lower that hedge and let me have my way with him, he'll turn against you." And so God did, and during that time of his persecution, his friends accused him of some terrible sin that he committed. "What sin have you done that caused all this to come upon you?" And actually, Job hadn't really done anything to cause it other than be a good man. And Satan attacked. Well, listen, Satan attacks us all in different ways. If you're not being attacked by Satan today, prepare yourself. Pray God keeps that hedge built up around you. But Satan attacks. Here's what Job said during all of it in chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "Man that is born of woman is a few days full of trouble." Well, now, the last time I knew that that statement applied to everybody, a man that is born of woman, that's all of us, and is a few days, to me, that literally means that our life here on this earth is really short. You think about it, if we live to be 100 years old, what is that in comparison to eternity? Not even one little drop in the bucket of the ocean. So, all of us are going to face trials and hardships and things that come in our way, so our life is full of trouble. Job, he lost everything that he had but his life because of his faithfulness to God. But because of his faithfulness to God, also in the end, whenever he was found faithful and true, God blessed him many times over what he had before. What about Noah? You ever think about Noah? He spent 120 years building a big old boat on dry land, not even close to water. I think it was up on a big hill somewhere. And it had never rained a drop. And all the people around were telling him how crazy he was, how stupid he was, and still he and his family continued to build. You know why? Because God knew what was coming, and he told Job to prepare. Or not Job, but Noah. Told Noah to prepare and build this ark, and he gave him the dimensions. And then guess what? The rains came, flooded the whole earth. Cindy and I were talking about that the other night, you know, and we were talking about the big peaks, and we were watching a show on TV about the National Park Service, and one of the peaks in one of the national parks was over 20,000 feet above sea level, and I believe that that peak was underwater. Think about Mount Everest and how tall it is, and think about all the water and where it came from and where it went to. Well, you know what? It came from God, and God abated it, and it went back down. I mean, we find evidence in a lot of high places. My cousin out in Colorado found a shark's tooth in there, nearly 8,000 feet above sea level out there. So you tell me it was a localized event. I don't believe it. It flooded the whole earth. That's what God did, because evil was present continually. Noah believed God and prepared. Listen to me, friend. Prepare, because temptations and trials are coming and are even here. But God knew what was coming. God has always known what was coming. And I thank God that he does know what's coming, because better things are ahead for those who believe in Jesus Christ. Matthew 6, we'll begin in verse 25. We worry about a lot of things that we have no control of. Would you agree with that? All you know what I have control of, barely, is me getting up and willing myself to serve. But Jesus speaking here in verse 25, Matthew chapter 6, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Cindy and I kind of, we go back and forth, and y'all know I'm very blessed with a wonderful cook, and she likes to cook, and I like to eat, and so we're a pretty good fit. And but it never fails that about halfway through the meal, while I'm eating something that's very good that she's made for me, because she knows I enjoy it, I'll look over and say, "What's for supper?" You know, and y'all look at me. I don't need to eat supper. But you know, our life focuses around things like this that we enjoy doing, okay? We dress nicely. I didn't get the memo this morning. I see a lot of black and purple ties and nice ties and stuff like that, and I got on brown. You know why? That's so I can be noticed, because the rest of y'all look so good together. I have to be something, right? But we think about these things a lot. What we're going to eat, how we're going to look, what we're going to do. Yeah, I know, I need a haircut. But you know what? The haircut's really not what makes you who you are. Someday maybe I'll get one, I don't know. But we worry about the things that are physical. And I want you to consider this morning, just for a little bit, what life really is. What life really is. It's not about what we're going to eat for lunch. We have so many things. We are blessed beyond belief. Think with me for just a second. I don't live in a dirt hut with an outhouse. And you know what? An outhouse is an upgrade to a lot of people in the world today. Have you ever thought about that? We have indoor plumbing. Amen? It's lovely, too. You turn the water on, and most of the time it comes out the faucet. You know, drains out, no muss, no worry. If it don't work like that, call Cliff. We have indoor plumbing. Now, we have indoor lights, you know. It's really nice to be able to come in even the sanctuary and turn on the lights and be able to read the Word without having to hold a candle or something so that we can see. We have refrigerators. Have you ever thought about your refrigerator? All those wonderful, is anybody in here don't eat leftovers? We live on them, and I love them for a while. But those marvelous things called freezers and refrigerators that we have and we're blessed with, that we can cook big meals and save it and eat it and share it. I mean, think of all. I can remember in my grandma and grandpa, they had a refrigerator, and it run on propane. You ever saw one of those? Grandma Alt had an old hand-dug well out there, and it had an old Ringer washing machine with a Briggs & Stratton gasoline-powered engine on it. And she had to draw water out of the well and heat it in one of those old cast-iron pots. Think about what all we have, and we're still not satisfied. Sounds like a Thanksgiving sermon, I know, but it's really not. But you know what? We ought to be thankful for the things that we're blessed with every day. We worry about these things when what we ought to be concerned about is what God would have us do. Look at verse 26. Look, behold the fowls of the air. Do y'all like to look at birds? They're pretty, aren't they? For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more and much better than they? You know, I was thinking about this as I was studying for this sermon this morning, and God has dressed up nature so beautifully. The birds, the bees, the animals. Have you ever just stopped and looked at God's creation and what He made that we could enjoy just by speaking? And then He reached down into the earth and He formed man with His own hands, and He breathed into us the breath of life, which made us a living being, eternal. So if God takes care of the birds and the bees and the other animals, think He's going to let us do without? I think our wanters are broken. We need to figure out what we want, what we need. They don't sow, they don't plow, they don't gather, they don't put in to harvest, and God sees fit to keep them alive. He gives them what they need. And what take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies in the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Flowers. I love flowers. They're beautiful, are they not? I think of the spring. I mean, the fall's coming on. Think of all the beautiful colors we'll have after we get a frost, and that's a blessing. I always look forward to it. But then after winter, spring comes along, and we see the buds, and Cindy's tulip tree out front gets those big old blossoms on. It's so pretty. God sees to that. I can't make them do that. God does that. And even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these flowers in the field. Verse 30, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the other, shall he not much more clothe thee, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Darren and Brooke Aldridge sing a song I love to hear. The lyrics are these. There's never been a day that I went hungry. Never had a night that I had no place to sleep. Never had a prayer that went unanswered. You might be wondering how that could be. I'm right here living in the moment. To tell the truth, I just don't really care all that. I just don't really care all that much about tomorrow, because I know he's already there. I was troubled. I used to wonder how it was that I'd get by. But who of us, by fear and worry, can add a single hour to our lives? So here I am gathering up this manna, collecting only my daily share, because I believe it will follow me tomorrow. Yeah, I know that he's already there. The chorus goes like this. There's a greater plan for me, bigger dreams that I could never see, ever dream. He says he will still, he says be still and know I am everywhere. And as for tomorrow, I'm already there. There is peace that passes understanding. So just let go, because he's already there. Just let go, he's already there. I want you to think about that for a minute. And all the troubles and the trials and the heartaches that we have in this life, all the things that we go through, we worry about tomorrow. And I want you to know that God is already there. He's already made provisions for you for tomorrow. So why worry? I can't change the length of my days here on this earth. I can't change how ugly I am or how good looking I am. I can't change how tall I am or how short I am or any of that stuff. But I can change my attitude and my heart and give honor to the one that made me who I am. Have no fear tomorrow. God's already there. Do you know that Jesus has you in his hand? If you're a born-again believer, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Scriptures tell us that no man is able to pluck you out of my hand. And if they were, then no man could pluck you out of my Father's hand, which is greater than all. What do we have to fear but fear itself? So what about this life? You know, we do have to live it until Jesus comes back or until he calls us home. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, I want you to see that God has a plan for us. Hebrews 9, 27. And here's what happens. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look, Christ, I can't even read today, I apologize. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So here's what we know. Man that is born of woman, that's all of us, is a few days and full of trouble. And it is appointed unto us to die a physical death. But God made a provision through his Son Jesus Christ that we would never have to die a spiritual death, because Jesus died one time to bear the sins of the world. Let me tell you something, friend. I love that scripture because to me, there's not a greater scripture in the Bible that teaches us that we have everlasting life when we accept Jesus Christ. It's eternal. You can't lose it. If Jesus saved you, he saved you for eternity. How do you know that, preacher? He died one time for all sin. And when he saves you completely for all eternity. So if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, what do we have to worry about? Well, I'm afraid to die, preacher. Let me tell you something, friend. If you make your heart right with God, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what do you have to fear but fear itself? Because we all have to go through that portal. As we've read many, many times in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Jesus comes back in the air and that old trump sounds and those that have went on before us are brought back to life. They've raised up from the dead. They go up into the air. And those of us who have remained and are alive here get our glorified body. And just one little twinkle of the eye later, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What do we have to fear? You know, my old body hurts, and arthritis seems like it gets me a little more every day. One of these days when Jesus comes back, I'm not going to have any of those problems. What do I have to fear? Nothing. It is appointed that this old body cannot be in the presence of God, and so I have to get a new one. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. As we stand before him in judgment, let me tell you, don't make any mistakes. Everyone will stand before Jesus Christ in judgment. There's two judgments. One is for the saved, one is for the lost. But I want you to know something that's common in both judgments. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Those who stand before him at the last judgment also will bow, but they won't be as fortunate as we because they're not covered by the blood. They will be judged from the books, the old law of God, and found lacking. Because, my friend, if you've ever read the law of Moses, you know you can't live good enough to be saved. Only Jesus could do that. We who have trusted Jesus Christ, though, our sins are forgiven because of what Jesus did there on the cross. We're going to live in the lap of luxury for all eternity. Now, as you think for a second, how much we're blessed with all the things that I was talking about. We don't have to draw water out of a well on a rope and a pulley anymore. And all these things that we're blessed with is nothing compared to what we're going to have in our mansion in heaven. I love that old song, said just a cabin over the hill. And that's all great and well and good, but I want you to know something. I don't believe I'm getting a cabin. I'm getting a big, luxurious mansion in streets that are paved with pure gold. The things that are most important to man here on this earth are nothing but pavement in heaven. We'll walk on it. I know that I don't have any control over what this life is going to deal me. Cause of sin. I don't know what my next hurdle will be. I don't know what tomorrow holds other than Jesus. I know he's already there. You know, we can let the cares and the heartaches and the hardships of this old life weigh us down. And we can get so bogged down with all the things in life and the worry, and the doubts, and the guilts, and all these things that happen to everybody. If you ever just get to thinking, well, it's just me. Why me? Why me? Just look around. You don't have to look far to see someone that's got it worse than you. But my question to you this morning is, why not me? Why not me? I'm no better than anyone else. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God through my faith in Jesus Christ. You know what I know tomorrow holds? If Jesus don't call me home first another day, much like today, I'll get up, I'll have aches and pains, I'll have to go to work, I'll have to do all that stuff. But if Jesus calls me home, all that's over for me, because I've placed my faith and trust in Him. What does tomorrow hold for me? I hope it's the presence of Jesus Christ. I hope Jesus comes back and takes all of us home to be in the presence of the Lord today. Are you ready? Well, I need to fix this. I need to fix that. Or I need to do this. Or I need to change that. Let me tell you something, friend. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the only thing that you can do to change your destination is accept Jesus Christ. And then He'll change the rest of you. You see, I might fool you, but I'm not going to fool Him. And so if I don't accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I don't have anything good to look forward to. Nothing. We've preached sermons on hell. Let me tell you something, friend. Hell is real, and you don't want to go there. But God paid the price, your sin debt, through His Son, Jesus Christ. And all you have to do to know what tomorrow holds for you is accept Jesus before it's eternally too late. You know what Jesus said? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Maybe you're saved and you've let these cares and these worries of the world weigh you down. Come right here to this altar this morning. Kneel right there and give it to Jesus. He said He'd take it. His burden's light. Well, if you come down here and you give it to Him, be careful that you don't pick it up and take it back with you when you go back. Give it to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, the biggest burden, the biggest hardship that you can face can be removed immediately by asking Jesus to save your soul. Trust and believe. I can't change anything in this world except my eternal destination. And thank God I've chose many years ago to choose Jesus. And I pray that each and every one of you have as well. You know, sometimes I think that maybe we get tied up in an emotional event. Maybe we didn't get it right. I believe that the Spirit of God will still convict you if you, maybe you've been a member of a church. I don't know, your heart. Maybe you've been to church for a long time and the Spirit's convicting you that you really didn't get it right. Don't put that off, friend. If you don't know Jesus truly as your Savior, don't let your pride get in your way. Accept Jesus before it's eternally too late. Maybe you've got off on the beaten path and got off of the narrow road, and maybe you need to dedicate your life back to God, or maybe you need to dedicate your life to God to start with. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've been saved by the grace of God, but you've never dedicated your life to service to God. Friend, you can do that this morning, and God will bless you. I think of old Job a lot. I don't know that anybody's ever been persecuted more than him, tempted to sin more than him, and he stayed true to the faith. And God blessed him for it. You know, I've had some hardships in my life, but nothing like what he went through. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost his family. And he stayed true. Why not me? But I know what tomorrow holds for me because of what Jesus did for me in the past. How about you? I want to ask Gene and Linda Gill if they will to come. I'll ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. Bow with me, please. Our fathers, we come to you at this time. We're thankful, Lord, for the promises of your word. And Lord, we know that we can't do anything to make this life better except accept Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. I'm thankful, Lord, for the knowledge that Jesus has saved my soul. I pray if there's any here today that don't know you, Lord, as their personal Savior, that they would come before it's eternally too late. Lord, I know and you know that the trials and the hardships and the temptations of this old world are heavy. And everywhere we look, Lord, there's devastation. But we know that the true answer is Jesus. Lord, I pray that if there's any heart here today that's burdened with whatever it might be, that they would just come to this altar and just give it into your capable hands and just leave it here at the altar for you. Thank you for that promise. Lord, maybe someone does need to dedicate their life to you. Or whatever you're leading them to, Lord, I know in my life, in my experience, that all I've ever had to do is take the first step and you do the rest for me. Your will, Lord, be done in each and every life here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Page number 300.
Hand in hand. To have a tie. It finally got wore out that had the footprints on it. And I think about that a lot because, you know, we've all seen that old picture that was drawn of two sets of footprints and then one and then the little inscription, "Why did you leave me, God?" And he said, "I didn't leave you. That's when I was carrying you." You know how to make it through this life? The easiest, stay as close as you can to God. When we walk hand in hand with Him, the things that happen in this life don't mean as much to us because He helps us through it. He carries us through the hard times. There's nobody in this room that hadn't had hard times, friend. That's life. But the way we deal with them is to let Jesus carry us through hand in hand. The best way to stay out of the temptation of Satan is to be as close as you possibly can to God. You can't defeat Satan without calling down the power of God. And Jesus is the only one that's able to help you through that. Hand in hand, day by day, as we walk, we sing another verse.
Yeah.
You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for Jesus who saved my life. I'm thankful for a godly wife that walks hand in hand with me as we strive to walk with God. And I'm thankful for this church.